Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in a new section in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Our focus this morning, with the few moments that we have left, is on one verse, Philippians 3:17. Philippians 3:17 is a transitional verse. A transitional verse. The theme of Philippians is fellowship, the believer's participation with other believers. And in verses 1 through 16, we have studied the precaution Paul gave about fellowship. The warning, specifically about the legalists, the Judaizers in this case, who would come in and tell the believers that they must go by certain laws and rules and regulations, mainly circumcision, in order to have a right relationship with God, even through Jesus Christ. So it wasn't that this particular group was denying Christ as Messiah, but rather they said it's Jesus and something else that you have to do. That has been a phrase that's been in Christianity for years. Anytime anybody presents to you Jesus and, it's false. It's only based upon what Jesus has done, period. Our life is based upon who Jesus is, period. There's no and there. All that Christ has done for me has provided salvation for me that I might freely receive his salvation to me as a gift. It's done by grace, favor. Not because of anything that I have done. It's not by a law or rule or regulation that I have done. But out of grace, favor, that he has provided salvation for me. And so he warns them. Watch out for these legalists that come into your group and emphasize certain things that you must do in the flesh, in the human. If you listen to how we share with one another or how people share with us, you always hear a little element of the human. Well, are you saved? Well, I, back in 1960s, here's what I did to get saved. No, that's not what saved you. Jesus saved you. It's not what you did. Now, you might have done something, but in spite of that, Jesus saved you. It can never be based on something that I say, I did. Even when I pray and ask God to have mercy on me and save me, it's by the leading of his Spirit. I can't even take credit for that. Paul says the reason why you need to be warned about these legalists coming into your fellowship or into your life is because we have no confidence in the flesh and all of our boasting is about Jesus Christ. If you come to me and tell me that there are some things that you see about my life that you say, well, a Christian shouldn't do that, or you call yourself a Christian, look at who you are. It's not based on who I am, other than I'm a sinner, saved by grace. If anything, when you see my weaknesses and you see my failures, then I can tell you the good news. The good news isn't about me. The good news is about Jesus Christ. Do you see the failure and weaknesses in me? Because you're the same. The difference is that I've responded to the persuasion of God's Spirit, and I've received His Son into my life, and He has given me a spiritual birth. He now resides and abides and remains in my life, and He will be in my spirit forever, throughout eternity. Never to leave. So watch out for people who come in and say, oh, you have Christ, you've been born of the Spirit of God. Well, now you need to do these rules and regulations. Paul says, if anybody has confidence in the flesh, he says, I more than anybody. And he listed his religious pedigree, which nobody can beat. Followed the law. Was born from Hebrew parents. According to following the law, he was blameless to meet the law's requirements. And yet, when Jesus revealed himself to him on the road to Damascus, he realized that all of that was for nothing. He tells us in this chapter that all of that attainment, all of those things which in the human that I have acquired for myself, in order for me to gain Christ, what does he mean by that? He says, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. In order for me to gain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, I must consider all that human attainment and acquisition as garbage. Equivalent to garbage. Worthless. And so, he says, I count all things but loss, that I might gain Christ and the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He says, but I haven't arrived. What I'm doing, though, he says, is I'm pressing forward to the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he says, the point about my life and my walk with the Lord is that my goal in life has changed. Paul is saying, my goal in life is to acquire all that I can about Christ, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings while being made conformed to His death. He says, I want Him. I want to know everything about Him. Therefore, when the world's opportunities come up that cause me to have to make a decision to say no to the pursuit of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ and yes to the opportunities that the world gives, I have to consider the opportunities that the world offers as garbage compared to the acquisition of the knowledge of Christ, or as Peter would say, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I have a goal. I'm like an athlete running in a race. I haven't reached the finish line yet, but I'm still pursuing. It's interesting, in Paul's letters, he talks about walking in the Spirit. That is to say that each step we take symbolizing the walk in life, we are to seek to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Paul didn't use the word walk for himself. He used the word run. I run the race. He ran under the influence of the Spirit. He didn't walk. He's that runner in the race. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that, I have run the race. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We have a struggle walking in the Spirit. He ran in the Spirit. So he says in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded, or more literally, be minding this one thing. The word mind here, we'll get more into it next week, but the word mind is this word phroneo that he started back in chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The phrane or the phroneo is the attitude, the mental bent of the mind, not individual thoughts, but the flow of thoughts and the attitude towards life. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was his attitude toward the earthly things? The opportunities. You know, he had many opportunities and was offered many opportunities for the people of the world to honor him and praise him as the king. He turned it down. He will not be honored the world's way, nor will he be honored by the world that way. But he says, mature believers are going to have the same frame of mind as he does. That is to say, he is pursuing and pressing toward the goal of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And he says, mature believers are going to be thinking that way. But he says, but if any among you be differently minded, is how it literally translates in verse 15. God shall reveal even this to you. So Paul is presenting the principle, and pretty soon he's going to present the pattern for his thinking. But he also says in verse 16, nevertheless, into what you have already reached or attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Having the same attitude and being at the same phase as everybody else are two different things. Everybody running the race, though they be in different positions on the track, have the same attitude. He's basically saying that wherever we are at in our walk with the Lord, we have to walk by the same rule as Paul. Wherever we're at, wherever we have arrived, wherever we are today, keep running the race. We might not be at where Paul was at when he wrote this letter, but then he says wherever we have arrived, that we're to maintain the same rule, and we are to mind, have the frame of mind on the same thing. In verses 17 to 21, we have the pattern for fellowship. Remember, verses 1 through 16 is the precaution for fellowship. Now in verses 17 to 21, the pattern for fellowship. Very, very powerful statements. Again, verse 17 is transitional. Verses 1 through 16 being the precaution of Paul. And this is transitional going into verses 18 and 21 that tell us about the libertines. We've had the legalists, and then we have the libertines, the people that come into fellowship and say, we're not under the law. There are no laws and rules and regulations. Anything goes. I can do anything I want to. But he says in verse 17, the transitional verse, in fact, verses 17 through 19 is the instruction of Paul, and in verse 17 are his commands. There's two of them. Number one, brothers, be followers together of me, and be observing the ones who are walking in this way. Only let your... Wrong verse. So at verse 17, he says two commands. Be followers together of me. And secondly, be continually observing those who are walking in this way, that is followers of me, as you have us for a pattern. That's very, very, if you stop and think about it, it's a very, very heavy statement to make. The word followers is literally translated imitators, not copiers, but imitators. It's the Greek word mimetai, which is where we get our word mime from. It is a theatrical term for the person who would put on the mask and put on the clothing and come out and act out a scene in the theater without talking. And their expressions would be telling the story. And that's what Paul is pointing to when he uses this word. Be the expression of Christ as I am the expression of Christ, or as he is expressing through me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul used the same phrase by saying, become imitators of me as I follow Christ. So what he's saying is, as you see the expression of Christ in my life, as you see him express himself and move in my life, let the same expression be in your life. You have the same Christ, same Jesus. And he purposely picked this word so that people would not think of copy. Paul didn't say, be copiers of me. And he purposely used this word to stay away from the term copy. We cannot, nor can anyone ever copy Jesus or Paul or anyone else with human effort. It's impossible. Paul's emphasis and focus was on Christ in him. As you see the expression of Christ in my life, lived out in my life, let the same expression be in yours. Be expressions together of me as Christ is in my life. The second command, and be observing. It's the word scopos, scoping out, but it's in the present tense. Be continually observing those who are walking in this way as you have us for a pattern. The word for pattern is tupos. It's type, like a typewriter would make a mark on the page, an exact image. And so it's translated pattern. Paul is presenting himself as a pattern. So be continually observing. Now, Paul is not setting himself up to be in the place of Jesus. Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ, and he came in the human, but he is also God, and he's without sin. God has left us an example, another human being who is weak in the flesh, sold under sin as you and I are, who basically, Paul says, I have this blessed ministry, this apostleship, which nobody else can have, but what I share through this apostolic ministry is that the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, anybody can have. As a matter of fact, Paul presented himself as the normal Christian. Be observing, watch. When I listen to people and I hear what they have to say, are they preaching the same gospel that Paul preached? Do they have the same expression of Christ in their life as Paul did in his? Paul's our example of what it's like for someone who's like us to walk with Christ. I've listed four things just for this brief time we're together this morning, four things in which Paul is a pattern for believers. Number one, expression. We've already talked about it. You see, if you hung around Paul all day long, whether he was working, making tents, whether he was in fellowship, whether he was eating, no matter what he was doing, if you followed him all day long, you would see what it's like, what the expression of Christ is like in a person's life. Secondly, he's the representation of maturity. He's the expression and he's the representation of maturity. We just saw that in verses 15 and 16. He says, all people who are mature have the same frame of mind as I do. They are pressing toward the goal of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's the mature walk. And if anybody has an attitude that's different than that, God's going to reveal it. How's he going to reveal it? Paul's the pattern. Thirdly, tribulation. Paul is the pattern of tribulation. Interesting, we all know that Paul suffered. But listen to this in Philippians, back in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. Paul says, let your citizenship be worthily of the gospel of Christ, in order that whether I should come and see you or be absent, I might hear of your situations, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one soul, that is, as one person, while striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing being terrified by your adversaries or enemies, which on the one hand is to them a demonstration of destruction, but on the other hand to you of salvation, and this of God. For unto you it was given on behalf of Christ not only to believe into him, but also to suffer on behalf of him, by having the same conflict. It's the word agona, agony. By having the same agony which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. Paul says, you want to know what it's like to suffer for Christ? If you're suffering for Christ, you've got the same conflict that I have. And is ordained by God not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. And so Paul says, if you are walking with the Lord, you're going to suffer with the same conflict that I have. The expression of Christ in Paul's life is a pattern. The representation of Paul's life for maturity is the pattern. The tribulation and conflict in Paul's life is the pattern. And lastly, the presentation of the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon being removed from the one who has called you in the grace of Christ, that you are being removed into another gospel, which is not another. except there are some who are troubling you and who are desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from out of heaven should preach a gospel contrary to what we preached, let him be accursed. Verse 9 of Galatians 1, he says, as we have said before, now say I also again, if any man is preaching any other gospel unto you than that which what you received from us, let him be accursed. How arrogant. If anybody presents a gospel that's different than what Paul preached, Paul says, let them be accursed, which literally means let them be dedicated as a sacrifice of destruction. That's pretty hard language. And pretty tough, and yet at the same time, stop and think about it. Let's take the toughness first. Paul is, I'm speaking in the human now, Paul is setting himself up to be the pattern of the normal Christian life. You know what suffering's like, Paul says? Read about what I had to go through. You want to know what the expression of Christ is like in your life? Read about my life. If you want to know what Christian maturity is, check our frame of mind out. We are the representation of Christian maturity. What is your goal in life? And then for him to say, as far as the presentation of the gospel goes, if anybody preaches any other gospel than what we have preached, let them be accursed. I mean, that's anybody. He's either the most arrogant man that ever lived, or God has set him up as a safety net for us. Somebody else that has walked with the Lord before us, ahead of us, that God has raised up to be a pattern of what the normal Christian life is really all about. Even to the point of the imaginations of the mind and how we come up with personal beliefs and how we imagine what God's word is saying. Paul says, if it's not what I'm preaching and teaching, it's not of God. That's a pretty safe, secure thing for us. If somebody comes along with a new teaching, it's like, oh, hold on, what chapter and verse is that that Paul taught? Did Paul teach that? Well, he didn't teach it, but we have better revelation today. Yes, we do. Well, we actually have good revelation. You just got revealed as being a false teacher. Because the Lord knows that we're just dumb sheep. We'll fall for almost anything. Especially when there's a human promise made, you know. You'll win the lottery this week if you do these 10 things. Ooh, boy, write them down and practice them. If there's a human advantage, we'll go for it. But Paul says if they don't preach the same gospel, let them be accursed. So the Lord has given us a safety net. Paul's not setting himself up to be worshipped and followed. He is saying, it's a pattern. I've walked with the Lord before you. My testimony is how the Christian life is lived and how Christ is lived out in the Christian life. Now, you might not be there yet, but you must still walk by the same rule. The attitude must be the same as Paul, even though we're not as further along as he. Putting no confidence in the flesh. considering everything that the world has to offer as on the level of garbage. And pressing towards the goal of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Seeking out and running the race of acquiring the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord. To know Him. The power of His resurrection and fellowship of His sufferings while being made conformed to His death. Paul says, that's all I want in life. At the end of Luke chapter 10, you remember the story of Mary and Martha, where Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to His word, and Martha was trying to fix meals for everybody in the kitchen, and she got so upset that Mary wasn't helping her that she came in and complained to Jesus. And literally Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Now, there are many necessities in life, and then Jesus said, really, only one. There's only one necessity in life, one. And Mary has chosen that good portion that shall not be taken away from her. She has chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His words. And be changed and transformed by Him and drawn close to Him by the Spirit of God. There's only one thing necessary. We have things to take care of that are necessities for life, but a lot of things that we choose to do really are not necessary. It's just valuable to us. And that's why Paul says, I consider everything on the level of garbage compared to acquiring the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And then he says, that is the representation of maturity. That is the normal Christian life. What it's like to walk with Him. So in this transitional verse, he gives us two commands. Be expressions of Christ together with Him. And be continually observing those who are walking in this way as you have us, he says, as a pattern. Now, I think it's interesting that he should change it to plural. As you have us as a pattern. See, it's not just him. He and Timothy and Epaphroditus and all of the brothers are now walking the same way. They are all walking with the same frame of mind, walking towards the same goal, walking in the same maturity. So he says, it's not just me that's the pattern, it's us. It's all of the believers who are mature and who are walking together. As you have us as the pattern, as you have us as the example, so walk with the Lord. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for raising up Brother Paul. We thank you for his ministry. We thank you for, through him, inspiring him to write down for us what it's like to walk with Christ and leaving us a pattern. Not just a pattern of living life, but also a pattern of preaching the gospel. What really is the true gospel? Paul claimed in Galatians that he received his gospel directly from Jesus Christ, a revelation from Christ himself. So it's not really Paul's gospel, it's the Lord's gospel. And if anybody preaches contrary to it, Paul says, let them be accursed. We have a safety net. We have things, the things of Christ, given to us in detail and a pattern. that your Spirit might use these things to keep us on the right road, to keep us on the right path as we seek Christ and to know Him. We pray by your Spirit you would help us to understand these things and even change and transform our frame of mind to set our goal for the one necessity in life, to know Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.